Okay, so we're on Daf Chaf Chet today. So I'm going to go back to Chavzayim Abayz around the 10 lines from the bottom on 27b, page 54. If you remember, the main idea we learned is that if a Nazir has money, imaud stumim, money that has not been designated for a specific korbanot, and he dies, so it's yiplul nadava. They go for nadava for the, you know, the Keitz HaMizbeach, for the voluntary offerings that are made in the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Gemara said, though, that if he leaves like an object, it has to be something that's easily convertible into money. So if it's a Baal Mum, that if it's an animal that's a Baal Mum, an animal with a blemish, that could be sold easily. And Mela, that would qualify. Otherwise not. So we're going to ask a question on that. Now we're quoting a long brisa. This brisa goes practically the next mishnah, and then from the brisa we're going to have a question. And you know, one idea that I think you would ask me this, Fern, last week. What was the connection? I think you said between the fact that it has to be maot stumim, it has to be easily convertible into money in order to come under the rubric of this halacha. In other words, you asked me that. We said if it's easily convertible into money, then it falls under maot stumim. If it's not easily convertible into money, then it's like maot mefurashin. And I think you said, you know, what differences make whether it's maot stumim. This, so there's two ways you could. I asked around the base matters. Here's what I came up with, or who came up with people I'm speaking to.
I can't take credit for that question. I think someone else asked it. It's a good one.
Somebody asked me the question. Anyway, I thought you did, but maybe somebody else. Anyway. So Rabbi Roblowski, and then I was also speaking today with Rabbi Freundlich. He's the rabbi. The first time I met him, he's the rabbi at Beth Shalom now in the South Shore, but he's giving the Daf Yomi this week, and he took over for Rabbi Hain. They both sort of said that the Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, again, this is Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, it's only by Ma'od, but it means it's got to be money or something very similar to money. Money is easily convertible. That's the Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. So if it's not easily convertible, it doesn't fall under the Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, and then it has to be destroyed. That was one way. Then I was telling Rabbi Chaim Packer, he's the Mashkiach, or the Sholem Eishiv, he's Sholem Eishiv in the Beis Medrash. He was saying a little something more sophisticated. He thought that if you have money is fungible. And, you know, like $1 I can't tell from another dollar, I can't tell from another dollar. So from each, when I'm looking at like a bag of money, I can't say with specificity that any dollar applies to the Korban Chatat because everything is fungible. But if I have an object and the object is not easily convertible into money, like the logs, so then, you know, irrebuttably part of it applies to the Chatat. And it was the other way I could say maybe this is it, maybe that's it, you know, everything keeps going around. But with an object, you have to say, you know, part of it is the Korban Chatat. All right, Naniach, whichever way you want to say it, it comes out at the end of the day, though, that if something is easily convertible into money, then we treat it as Maot Stumim, and then you can eat Pula Nadava. So let's do the Brisa. This is 15 lines from the bottom on page 54 of Sinai Beis, Matav Rava. Matav Rava. Now, the Gemara here is focusing on the Korban Chatat. The Korban Chatat is a Korban you bring, if amazed, you be Chayav Karet. So b'shogeg, you bring a korban chatat. So it says by there's different korbanot chatat that Torah mentions, but it mentions the word korbanot three different times in the pesukim. So matib rabba korbanot, the korbanot hu yotzei ben yotzei be korban aviv. So korbanot, his korban, he has to bring his korban as a chatat. He's not yotzei with the korban of his father, meaning if a person's father had committed an aveira, designated a korban chatat, and then he died before he brought it, I can't, you know, the heir can't say, well, you know, and you happen to need a korban chatat, I'll use this. He says, "Yecholo yitzim korbanot shel aviv shefrishman akala lachamura minachamura lakala." I might have thought maybe he can't use his father's korban chatat if that korban chatat was within the, you know, chiyuvim for a korban chatat for the avera the rechayv karet. There are kalot and kamurot. So one way to divide up the kalot and kamurot is chamurot could be the ones that b'mezid yibichayev mita from a bezdin, let's say like Shabbos or Avodah Zarah. So then if it's b'mezid with Edom and Asra, yibichayev mita, we'll call those chamurot. And then the other ones we can call kalot. So maybe I can't use my father's korban if it was like, we'll call one grade A, one grade B. If it was like a different set. Shavishim l'kala chamurah min l'chamurah l'kala. About Yotzi b'korban shafrish min aviv min akala l'akala. If my father had a kala, like a let's say he bought a korban for chaylev, which is not chayev mita from a bezdin to mezin, and I have to bring a korban for a dam, so maybe I could use that. Or if he was Mechal Shabbos, I did something in a very way of Odezara, maybe I could use that. Tamil Omar, Korbano, Korbano. So the Torah says Korbano, Korbano twice. It says Korbano, Korbano, the Korbano Yotzev and the Yotzev, the Korbano Shel Aviv. So he can only be Yotzev with his own Korban, he can't be Yotzev with the Korban of his father. Then, right, that's 100% correct. He says, "Yecholo yitzev korban aviv behema shefri shafil min akala l'akala min achmura l'chamura fri inadam galeach abim miraviv benazirat." So I might have thought, you know, the animal that my father designated for his korban, that I cannot do, because I even see inadam galeach abim miraviv benazirat. He's making a tsushtel to naziris. Let's say a person's father was a nazir and had designated the animals before he died. And then he died, and now the son is a Nazir. He wants to recycle the animals. He can't recycle those animals. He says, "Aval, I would think, Yotzev Ma'ot Shefrish Aviv, Afilu Min HaChamura L'Kalo Min HaKalo L'Chamura." I would think, maybe if my father left money, let's say the father did an Aveira that would be a Chiv of Korban Chatat, and he didn't get designated an animal, but he left a bag of money. The bag of money was for his Korban Chatat. So maybe with that bag of money, maybe the bag of money I could use, Sherei Adam Galeach Amod Aviv Benazirut, because we see by Nazirut, if his father was a Nazir and the father left a bag of money for the Korban out, so, and then the son's a Nazir, he could use those money for his Korban out. So just like he could use the money from the Nazir, for, so maybe for the Korban Chatat as well. On the top line, on Tav Chedem and Aleph, 28a, the top line, Bizman Shein Stumin, Lobizman Shein Mufurashin. That's only if the money is Stumin. Only the money is not designated for any specific korban, not if it's Mufurashin. Then we know already Mufurashin, it's got to, you know, where the Chatat's got to go and the other one's elsewhere. So Talmud Lomar, Korbano. So the Torah says for a third time, Korbano. But Korbano hu Yotzei, you know, Yotzei, but Korbanavi. It has to be his korban. He can't be Yotzei with the korban of his father, meaning even the money of his father. Now, Yecholo Yitzei Bo Shefrish Afilu Min Akala Al Akala Min Achamura Al Achamura. So I might have thought that I can't use my father's money, even if it's the same type of Aveira, you know, Kala and Kala or Achamura and Achamura. But Yotzei B'Korban Shefrish La'atzmo. But, and again, we only need one line from this Brisa, but we're learning the whole Brisa. You know, it's like, that's the way the Gemara has it. It's a whole lengthy Brisa. He says, But Yotzei B'Korban Shefrish La'atzmo. But, let's say a person, he himself designated an animal for a korban, for a korban chatat, min akala ala chamura. Now he wants to use that animal for, like he designated it for, he ate chaylev. Now he wants to use it for his chidol Shabbos, b'shogeg. The animal, he says, min akamura ala kala, or min akamura ala kala. So maybe, this is the person himself. Maybe he could use the animal differently. Tamalomar korbanu al chatato. So one of the psukim, it says korbano al chatato, his korban for his chayt. He says ad shehi korbano l'shom chatato is b'achaz. And it was the chatat, then there was a korban has to be for the designated aveira that it was, you know, designated originally. Okay, so much as that. So and then let's just pause, get some breath for a second. So it, all right, so it came out. Everybody with me? So it comes out a person can't use his father's korban, you know, was kala chamura, chamura kala, and he can't be yotzei with the father's money for the korban, and he can't be yotzei with his own korban if his own korban was designated for a different aveira. That's basically what we learned so far. Everybody good?
So where do we know that the son owes the korban that the father, that he steps into the shoes of the father and owes the korban for the father who is now no longer here.
No. You're saying a different halacha. We're not dealing with that halacha. We're just dealing with the son's obligation to bring a korban chatat. That's what we're focused on.
For his own
korban chatat. You're focusing on a different thing. Let's focus on this thing. Okay. So we're just
that other thing I'm talking about is true, right?
So. Yeah, so hold that question on the side, okay? Hold it for a minute.
Okay.
Let me get again, because I don't like to get sidetracked with other Indian while we're in the middle, okay? So I say, hey, Korbanot L'shem Chatzel. Now, we're around line 8 on Chav Chedron Aleph. Yechol lo yetzei v'behema shefrish la'atzmo min akala akala min achamura l'achamura. So I might think that you can't be yotzei with your own behema that you designated for one of Eira. Now, we have afilu. Afilu here doesn't belong. The afilu belongs even. In other words, even would be the same type of Avera. And the way Rabbi Leibowitz was saying, like, kol shekein menachala chamura menachamura lakala. And certainly, if it's a different type of Avera, I can't, you know, repurpose the animal. Kin mefrish behima l'chelev mevi aladam or aladam mevi l'chelev. Now, he wants to say, sherei lo ma'al v'lo kiper. The means b'shogeg, let's say b'shogeg, I took the animal that I designated for chela, that I brought it for dam, and it was b'shogeg. And it was, yeah. In other words, I owed two korbanot chatat. I had one animal that was designated for my aveira from chela, and then I inadvertently brought it for the dam. I brought it for eating dam, which is also a chiyuv sherei lo ma'al. So that would not constitute me'ila. Now me'ila, see, me'ila, Me'ila means if a person, b'shogeg, he uses kachim, so the kachim go to chulin. They get reverted to chulin as a result of his me'ila. But that's b'shogeg, it turns to me'ila. Shrei lo ma'al. So he doesn't, in other words, if I'm doing kachim to kachim, in other words, me'ila is, I take something, I'm using it for a profane purpose. And then if it's b'shogeg, it gets converted into chulin. It gets converted into chulin. And that's the act of me'ila. But here, when I'm taking the korban, using it for a different type of korban, that would not be an act of me'ila, would not convert it into chulin. He says, below kiper, meaning, and I would, the person would not get kapara for the second aveira. And in other words, if it would be converted into chulin, then there's a svar to say, now it could be repurposed. That would be like the svar to say that way. But in this case, it doesn't get repurposed. It's kachim to kachim. So nothing happens with it. It stays its original status, below kiper. And so therefore, even if b'mezid, he does this, he doesn't get kapara for his that aveira. Aval, but I would have thought, yotze b'maot shifrish la'atzmo, I would have thought, now we're shifting again a little bit, and again, this isn't even the part that we need for our sugi, but I got it through the whole braisa. He says, aval yotze b'maot shifrish la'atzmo, but I would have thought that, let's say Reuven did an aveira, he ate chelev, he's chayav a korban chatat. Then Reuven, he separated a bag of money for his korban chatat, for the chelev. But I would have thought if he took the bag of money, and he take the bag of money, and now he wants to use that same bag of money for the different aveira. He says minachamur lakala minachal lakamura. Why? Shkein mefrish laatzmo ma'od minachelev mevil adam aldam mevil achelev. Shreima'al. In other words, if he would take the bag of money, and now, in other words, the bag of money has a certain kedusha in it, and now he's going to use it to buy a korban. So the money, you know, as a matter of, you know, halacha gets deconsecrated when he buys the animal. That's what happens with, he set the money aside for his korban that he has to bring. He ate chela. So he said, now he did another aveira, he ate dam. And now he decides, I'll use that bag of money in the pantry. I'll use it for my korban for the dam. So there, I would think maybe that is effective. Why? Because that would be an act of me'ila. He says, Shrei ma'al, by taking that money, in other words, the money gets deconsecrated. When I give the money and I buy the animal, the money goes to chulin. Then there was, I give that money, I give it to the seller. So now the money is chulin. So I would say that's an act of me'ila. He says, v'chiper, and therefore I would say, logically, as a corollary to that, that if he did buy the animal and he repurposed it for a different aveira, he does get kapara. I would think that makes sense. He gets kapara. Tama lomar al-chatato. So Torah says, it says, korbano al-chatato. Actually, korbano l'shem chatao. The korban, the Torah says, nah. The Torah says the korban, the money, everything has to be for that aveira that you did. It has to be for that aveira. Okay, that's the Bryce. Let me do four more lines and then we'll summarize, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So the Gemara says, here's the key line, Ketani Mihat Behema. This is the line that we needed. So from this whole Braisa, it's saying that on Chavzayin Rebeis, we mentioned that if the father had designated an animal for his Nazirus, so the son, she says, in other words, I can't use the animal that my father designated for his Nazirus for my Nazirus. That's what we're saying. He says, "Ketani miyat behema, my love afilu balat nom." Is it not that the Braisa means that even if my father left an animal that was a balat mum, and this animal is to be used in one sense or another way, either converted into money, whatever, for the korbanot, that I cannot. So the thing is, we were saying a balat mum is like my maut stumim. In other words, balat mum is easily convertible into money. So that's maut stumim. So maut stumim, so the son could use, and yet here the behemoth the Bryce says can't use. So the Gemara says, lo, tamima. No, the Bryce is referring to an unblemished animal. The father left an unblemished animal in Achinami. That's not like Mount Stumim, it's like Mum of Furashim. About Balat Mumai. So what if it would be Balat Mum, what would be the bin? That'd be Kistumim Damia. That would be like Mount Stumim. So my Yiri, the Tani Maut Shefri Shaviv. So why does the Tana teach me? Tana teaches me a case where the father separated an animal, and the father teaches me a case where the father separated money. So why does he teach me money? He says, litni balat mum. In other words, he should teach me the greater chiddush. Money is correct, but he should teach me even if my father left a balat mum. In other words, the animal case, he's talking about a tamima, one that without mum. But why? So the other case should be a balat mum, and see that I could use. He says, so the Gemara says, hachinami. That's exactly what the Tana of the Braisa means. L'may chazia, what is a balat mum worthy to be used for? L'dmei, that's for money. D'mei, hainu maot, that's the same as maot. That's what the Tana is saying. Okay. Let's just summarize, and then we'll take some questions, comments, thoughts, and then we'll go on. Okay, now, so the main idea that we're taking through from this Gemara is if a Nazir has money that he left, you know, Maot Stumim, so the Yiplu the Nadava, they can go for the Nadava, they can go for the voluntary Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. And we said that's Halakha Moshe Mi-Sinai, and it's not just the Maot Stumim, but anything that's easily convertible into money. So the Gemara quoted this whole lengthy Braisa, and in the Braisa, among other things, it said that if the person has a father who is a Nazir, and the son is also a Nazir, and the father left an animal for his Korban Nazirus, the son cannot use that animal for his own Korban. Even though he's Yarshin the father, he can't use it. So the Gemara says, yeah, he can't. That's talking about if he left a Tamima. He left an animal that's Tamima, so it's not the same as... And again, with the father, if the father left Maot Stumim, the son could use that money. If he left Maot Furashin, he can't use it. So here, but if he... But what do you want to say? If he left a Balat Mum, he could use the Balat Mum, because the Balat Mum is easily convertible into money. So then why doesn't... If that's the Pshat in the Braisa, why doesn't the Braisa teach me Balat Mum? Why does it teach me money? Balat Mum is a bigger chiddush. So the Gemara says that's what the Tana is saying. The Balat Mum is the same as the Maot. That's what he's saying. The Balat, the Maot that's Stumim, that's like the Balat Mum. Okay, now, questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we had in the sugya.
With that designated by the father.
He was designated by the father before.
That's
good. No, again. In other words, we're talking about monies or animals that the father designated for his korbano. So he did designate, but it's a balat mum. So it means that, okay. Fern, now what did you want to say before?
Oh, I just wanted to know, before, that was the question you didn't want to deal with yet.
All right, so let me hear the question I don't want to deal with yet. Let me hear.
The question is, if someone owes a korban, a chatad, a nazir,
right.
And he dies.
Right.
And his korban was supposed to give him kapara.
Right.
Does his yoreh?
No. We said that's the case. That's the case of chatut shemetu baleha. You can't bring a korban. You can't bring a chatat for somebody who's dead.
But can you turn it into an Ola and Asham or something else?
No. In other words, did the father designate an animal or money? What did he leave?
Let's take it down either way. What's the din with regard to...
If he designated an animal, so that's the case of Chatach Meitubala.
So then
the animal has to die. The animal's got to die.
So now, does someone else have to dig into a pocket and be mafresh another animal for that?
The dead is dead is dead. You can't bring the korban for somebody who's dead. Anyway, and then if he designated money, and he said the money is for the korban chatat, so that goes to the Yam HaMelech, that goes to destruction.
Okay.
All right.
Any
other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay. All right. Now, the rest of the daf, I think, is easier. Baruch Hashem. Okay. Now, I wanted to get through that difficult subject, but we got through it. And you're happy. Okay. Now, we're 8 lines from the bottom on Chaf Chet Amin Aleph. So Michael would say this is Koa, Chaf Chet. So, Manitin, Nizrek Alechad Min Adamim. Now, again, we're talking about the husband, his ability to revoke his wife's neder of Nazira. See, his wife who's a Nazira, when is it too late? Now, a husband, we've discussed this before in Masechet Nedarim, the husband can revoke a neder if it's Devarim Beino Lebeina, would interfere with the, intimate relations between husband and wife, or it's Devarim Shel Inui Nefesh, that, causes her, affliction. So, let's take a look. So the Gemara says, Manitin, Nizrakaleh Achad Min Adamim. Now, once the Zrikistam, in other words, let's say she has already completed her term of Naziris, and she separated animals, and now Zrika from one of the Korbanon has been done. So the Tan of our Mishnah holds that once Zrika from one of the animals is done, all the prohibitions of Naziris are released. So Nizrakaleh Achad Min Adamim, Einu Yechola HaFer. So now he can't be made for the Neder anymore, because it doesn't fall under any of the considerations we said. In other words, she's already released from her prohibitions of Naziris. Well, that's the issue. Can he be made for the Naziris? So it's... there's still a little bit left. He's just supposed to bring some korban out, and she has to have giluach of the thing, but he can't be made for. Now, Rabbi Kiva Omer... Tana Rabbi Kiva says, now Rabbi Kiva agrees on a deraisa level, you're right, according to the Tana Kama, once is Zrika. But Rabbi Kiva holds on a drabban level, once one of the animals has had shchita, and we'll come to see, really means a korban chatat, that once you've shechted the korban chatat, then the husband can no longer be made for the neder, because he doesn't want to bring the korban for hefsek kachim. In other words, because then the animal is going to be destroyed. It's going to lead to psulim mukdashim. So Rabbi Kiva says, "I feel nishkatal lachat mikol behemot einu yechol hafer." And once one of the behemoths, though, it's going to come out to be the korban chatat, he can't be mayfair. Now, by mezvar murim, it's a glachat atara. So when are we talking about that the time to terminate the naziris? That's tiglachat atara. In other words, tiglachat is a term of art, but it means the concluding rituals at the end of her term of naziris. About tiglachat atuma. If it's the korbanot, that in other words, let's say she was in Naziris and now she became Tumea in Naziris, and now she's bringing korbanot and then is going to resume it. So he says, yeah, fair. So he can be made fair even if the korbanot are brought. He says, Shehu yechol lomar, because he, the husband, could say, Yev Shiva Isha Menuvelet. I don't want a woman that's here, Menuvelet means who's afflicted, she can't have wine and things like that. I don't want that on my table, on my situation. Now, we either have Rebbe Meir Omer, or it could be Rebbe Omer. Either way, Rebbe Meir Omer, apatiklachat ataroy affair. Meir says that even after, you asked me why, what's left to do. So even after the Zrikas Dam, according to Meir, the husband could be Mayfair, the Neder Nazirus, Shehu Yechol Omer, because he could say, Eif Shibi Isha Megalachat. I don't want this woman with a shaved head. I don't like shaved head. It's like Devarim Beino Lebeina. It interferes with my relationship with her. I don't feel too great about a woman with a shaved hair. And there are places where that's the way the people do. Right. All right. Anyway, so that's the Mishnah. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did in the Mishnah? Okay, I'm moving on. Now, we're on the second wide line on Chaf Chai Manala. So the Gemara says, Manitin Dlo Kareb Lezer. Our Mishnah does not follow the Tana Reb Lezer. The Im Reb Lezer Ha'amar Tiglachat Ma'akevet. The Tana Reb Lezer holds that you're not, that all the prohibitions are in effect until the person gets Giluach. So the Tana Kamvar Mishnah holds, and Rabbi Akiva also subscribes to this, that once you have Zrikas Damim, then the prohibitions are lifted. But Reb Lezer holds the prohibitions are not lifted until Tiglachat, until the head is shaved. That's what he holds. He says, Ha'amar Tiglachat Ma'akevet. The Kamin Lo Gilcha, as long as she hasn't had Giluach, Asira Bechamra, she's prohibited wine, became a Itla Nivo Matzi Mefer. So therefore, the Tana Reb Lezer would hold that he could be Mefer the Neder up until the time of Tziglachat. So that's similar to Reb Meir, but for a different reason. Reb Meir was saying it's because he doesn't want the woman, it's like, you know, Dvarim Beino Lebeina. He's saying it's because Dvarim Shel Inui Nefesh, that she's still subject to the proscriptions. Now, Ubaha Plihi, and some of those words and some don't. Turn page, top line, on Chaf Chanam Beis. Tana Didan, our Tana, means the Tana Kama of our Mishnah. He said that it's the Zrikas Dam. Tana Didan Sabar, Kimin Dizdarik Ladam, La'al Tisharya Bechamra. Once the Zrikas Dam takes place, the person is immediately permitted to drink wine. And obviously, it means also anyway, he says, Maha late la nivel. So Mela, there's no more nivel. There's no more, distress for her from a lack of wine. Rabbi Kiva Savar, Afilu Ishtakit Behema, Inu Yechol HaFer. Rabbi Kiva holds that even if a Behema, so it's going to come out that it's Korban Chatat, but we don't know this yet, that even if Behema has been shechted, he can't be Mayfair. Mishum Hefseh touch him, because it's going to cause a Hefseh, a loss of Kachim, loss of the Korbanot. So Matkiv Rabbi Zera, B'amai, why is it going to call a Hefseh Kachim? Lizrok Daman Shlo Lishman. So let's say the person thought they were a Nazir, and then the husband, after Shechita, revokes the Neder. And let's say the Korban Shlamim was Shechted, or the Korban Ola. So Lizrok Daman Shlo Lishman. So the Zrika will take place for a different purpose. He says, V'yatir Basar Bachilan, the meat will still be permissible to be eaten. Milo Tanya, didn't we learn in the Braisa, Kibseh Atzeret this is the only Shalmei Tzibur you have. It's brought on Shavuos. On Shavuos, we bring Kibseh Atzeret. He says, Sheshchatan Shlo Lishman, if you shechted it Shlo Lishman, meaning not the shame, it was you shechting it, but not the shame, a Korban Tzibur for Shavuos. O Sheshchatan Lefnei Zman, or you shechted it before Shavuos. O Lachar Zman, or after Shavuos. Adam Yizareg, so you're right, you didn't have the right kavana, but you'll still do zrika of the blood, baba sar yechel, and you can still eat the meat. Mimaita Shabbat, and if it was Shabbos, meaning Shavuos came out on a Shabbos, lo yizrok, because you're not entitled to bring a private korban on Shabbos, bim zarak, but if you did do the zrika, hurtza lahatir emurim la'erev. So the emurim are acceptable to be brought on the day that evening. So that's the kasha. So why does Rabbi Kiva say, once you do Shechita, it's too late to do Hafaras Nadarim on a Drabanan level, because it's going to lead to Hefseh Kachim. It won't lead to Hefseh Kachim, because even if it's not, the Korban is not, the Avod is not done, the Shame, the Nazir, but the meat is still permissible. So Amri, they said in the Beis Medrash, either Shachar Ola Ushlamim Hakanami. If the animal that he shechted was an Ola or Ushlamim, you're right, it would not be a problem. And indeed, Rabbi Kiva holds you could still do. You could still do Haparat Nadarim after Shechita if the animal was an older Shlamim. Now, Hakamai Askinan, what are we dealing with in Mishnah where Rabbi Kiva says after Shechita you can't do Hapara? You want Shachar Chatap Reisha. It's where the first animal he shechted was the Korban Chatat. Yeah, that you can't have another Kavana for the Chatat. In other words, that's going to be profound. Like I didn't go over today, but it's the first Mishnah Masechet Tzvachim. Kitanan. Now, here the Gemara says, Kidnan. Now, this line is a little tricky. In Gilach al Chamishlashan Yetzah. If you do Giluach for any of the three, you're Yotzei. So, someone is saying that this is really addressing the Tanakam, right? So the Tanakam says, once the Zrika has been done, you can't be Mayfair. So he says, one second. See, he's just saying, according to this, that if any of the korbanot are brought, let me say the one sentence. Let me just say one second. Yeah. So if you look, this is in the Rush. The Rush says this is around 10 lines from the bottom. Tananim gilach lachat mishtashan yitza alma al ezemian shigilach batel niziruto umay rishibi chatat chila. That's a little differently. So,
all right. He's saying, give me one second. This is footnote 18. In other words, he says he's completed the zeros, no more about the zeros. The beginning of that mission says the fatas is the first sacrifice to be offered. According to the possibility of the fatas being taught first, as Zuma the Gemara isn't finished, Rabbi Akiva is reasonable. So the beginning of that Mishnah says that the Chatat would be the first one to be brought. And then it says in Gilach, Alatat Mishnashtan Yatzah. And then if you do Giluach, after one of them has been brought, you're fine. So that would be the way that put in. But it's strange the Gemara doesn't decide to begin the Mishnah, since it seems quite irrelevant to Rabbi Akiva's assertion. The Rush suggests the Gemara quotes this part of the Mishnah to explain the Tanakam word with them. According to Tanakam, sprinkling the blood of any one of the concluding sacrifices ends in his dearest prohibitions, the state of self-denial, which the wife has been subject. This corroborated by the mission of below, on Menhei, which states that the head shaving is performed after just one of the three concluding sacrifices has been offered. So he wants to say, the way the Rush is, let me look in the Rush again, one second. Yeah. Right. So he wants to say, like, as a corollary of that, in other words, he wants to say that line is really coming, what the Rush is saying, is really coming to shore up the Tanakama. That line, in other words, the Tanakama holds, once you do Zrika from any of the Korbanot, it's over. So that's what he's saying. He says in Gilach Lachat Mishlashan Yatzah, that if you did Giluach and one of the Korbanot had been brought, it means the Zrika, you're okay, you're in the clear, everything's permissible. So that line really ends up the way the Rush is saying, supporting the Tanakama. But Rabbi Akiva holds Rabbi Akiva also agrees with that, but Rabbi Akiva holds on a Rabbanan level, if the Chatat has been shechted, he can't be Mayfair anymore, because it's going to lead the Kachim, the Psul. That's it. So it sounds like from the early part of the mission.
What did Yosef just ask?
Yeah, he says, is there an order in which they have to be brought? Yeah.
Is there an issue of Pigel with any of this?
Yeah. Well, here he says that any one of them will call it a day with this. Let me just take a look. Yeah, so it sounds like you could bring the chatat first,
but not necessarily. But the chatat could be the first korban that would be shechted.
Let's take a look. Is that what it says? 18?
Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah. So the article says in footnote 18, the chatat is the first korban that's offered. Right. All right, let's go back. So the Gemara says, I'm going back in the Gemara. So he says,
where are you going back to?
To the word Amri, around 10 lines down. So Amri, they said in the base medrash, either shachat ola or shlavim hachanami. So if he had shechted the ola or the shlavim, so it means in this case he didn't shech the chatat first. Let's say he had shechted the ola or the shlavim. So then in Achinami, Rabbi Akiva will agree that the husband could still be made for the neder. So Ella Hakamayaskinam goes shachat chatat bereisha. Says the but Rabbi Akiva is being a case where he shechted the chatat first, which seems like the preferred method. Kidanan, if you lack a chat mishlash tan yatzah, this seems to support the way that we're saying with the Rush. In other words, if he did any of them, he's Yotze. In other words, any korban will release him from the Naziris. But he's saying right in Gilead. Right, that's correct. But and that seems to support more the Tanakama, that the Zrika of any of them releases him. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts? What do you got?
Yeah. Getting back to the Kivsei Atzeret, it says Sheshachtan Shalolishman Osha Shachtan Lifnez Manan.
Right.
Is that a Pigel situation?
No. Remember Pigel is when you shecht it and you have in mind that you or the Mizbeach are going to consume it, not the right Zman. In other words, let's say you have a Korban Shlamim and I'm thinking that I'm going to eat this, you know, a week from now. That would be a Machsheves Pigel, right? The Machsheves Pigel being in the Avodah. Here, he's shechting it, doing the Avodah. Maybe he's thinking, I'm going to eat it tonight. I don't know. But he's shechting it before Shavuos. That's the key that's taking place with it. But it's a Korban Shlamim, but he's shechting it before Shavuos.
That's not a Pigel situation.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
All right. Now, all right, let's take a look. Well, it's going to be more at the tail end. So it's around another 3 years or so. Okay, now, all right, let's see further in the Gemara. So, line 15, the two dots. So he said, that's all true. You know, all these dinim that either after Zrika you can't do Hafar anymore, or after the Shechita of the Korban Chatan you can't do, by Tiglach HaTara, it means it's the concluding rituals for a Nazir who's successfully completed his or her term, or okay, her term, because the husband's Aval, but Tiglach HaTuma Yafer. But if she's like the concluding rituals when she's Tmeya, then even if she brings the Korban out, the husband can still do Hafara. If she be Isha Menuvelet, I say, I don't want a woman who's like, you know, is suffering from not drinking wine. Rabbi Meir Omer, according to Tana Rabbi Meir, even after the Korbanot are brought, the husband can still do Hafara. With Neisha Cholomar, because he can say, if she be Isha Menuvelet, I don't want a woman with a shaved head. But Tana Kama Amar Lach, the Tana Kama would say to you, she can wear a shaitel. So a shaitel will solve the situation. So he says, Rabbi Meir Savar, he says, like, he holds that, like, a shaitel, since it's like he finds it repulsive, so he's not happy with that alternative, so he wants the natural hair. Right. Okay, now.
Without sounding argumentative.
Wait. Give me 2 minutes, okay? Wait. Meir Savar, Rabbi Nochrit, I did the Zuma lo nichalei. So Rameir holds. Wait. Rameir says affair. Right. So he could still do the hafara. Okay, wait a minute. Give me just one more minute for and I'll be through, okay? So let me just do a little piece from station identification and we'll talk about this. So he goes through the whole sugya, but the issue becomes, or let me go over some of this anyway. The Tana Kama is of the opinion that after a Nazira concludes her term of Naziris and offers her korbanos, her husband may no longer nullify her vow of Naziris, even if she's not yet performed the mitzvah tiglachat. At that point, her Naziris is no longer under the husband's jurisdiction, is no longer involved in doing that, but fine. The mayor disagrees, contains that, like, it's repulsive, fine, and that comes on Dvarim Benol the Beinah. Now, Tana Kama response says that it can wear a shadow. Now, the Shulti Gibor introduced proof from this Gemara. Though the Torah obligates married women to cover their hair in public, it is permitted for them to wear a wig. Even though a wig is made from women's hair, it is only forbidden for a woman to expose her natural hair, but she's permitted to wear a wig since that hair is not attached to her head. In other words, the Shulti Gibor wants to see from this Gemara, you see that, he says that the Tana Kama holds that she's not repulsive if she shaves off her head because she can wear a shaitel. So we see that a woman could wear a shaitel. That's what he's saying. In other words, not such a davar muskam in the poskim. In other words, our Sephardic friends, theoretically, are not supposed to wear a shaitel, even though sometimes you will see. But anyway, but the thing is, they don't wear, they have like this sort of like swami deal they put on. Okay, now, the Be'er. So from this Gemara, simple pshat in the Gemara, sounds like you could wear a shot. That's what it sounds like. Now, the Be'er Sheva, as well as several other authorities maintain, is forbidden to wear an uncovered wig. So he says, the Be'er Sheva explains that according to Remeir, the husband, so Remeir is the one who says that I don't want my wife to be shaved, or with a shaved head. According to Remeir, the husband rejects his wife's haircut because he claims that even though she wears a head covering, a hat or a kerchief will be noticeable, she has no hair under her head covering. The Tanakam, however, argues she can conceal her lack of hair by wearing a wig under the head covering, giving the impression that she has a lot of hair. In other words, they want to say the pshat in the Gemara is not like I just said before, that the woman would be wearing a shidel and then have a covering over the shidel. And so the question is, will people like notice that she doesn't have hair? Wearing an uncovered wig, however, is forbidden because of Mar Zion, the appearance of wrongdoing, since it appears as though she's publicly exposing her natural hair. So the Be'er Sheva, let's say the pshat in the Gemara is, not that anybody says you can wear a shidel exposed, but right, in other words, if you're covering the shidel, right, that's the whole thing. Now, alternatively, the Yavet, says Rabbi Yaakov Endem, suggests the husband objects to his wife's shaven head because he's concerned with her appearance in the privacy of her home, where she sometimes uncovers her hair. So you want to say he's not concerned the way she goes outside, it's the way you hear in the house. Tanakama argues that a bald wife is not repulsive, she can wear a wig in her home. In other words, so in the house, she'll wear the wig. He says, the Yavetz argues the husband cannot possibly be concerned about his wife's public appearance because as a married woman, she must in any case cover her head in the street. The Ramah rules in accordance with the lenient opinion of the Shultai HaGiburim and permits a married woman to wear a shidel. So that's a nice kula for you and for all the women that they have a kula to wear a shidel. Okay, now, who's got questions, comments,
but my question was the other side of Beinoa Beina. What if she's repulsed by a shaven head? She has no recourse.
I don't recommend becoming a Nazira. I really don't recommend becoming a Nazira. I'm with Yosef on this. Rav Sosa said she should have thought of it before. Definitely with that. Definitely. Okay, now let me see.
No, but she can't be, may fear his Nazira because she's turned off by a shaving head.
Oh, you mean that she's turned off by his shaving the head.
Right.
Just like that. Yeah. Well, that's it. Yeah, like Joseph said, too bad, so sad. That's it.
Sounds like something you would say.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, all right. So if that's it, I'm going to move on. Now, the Rabbi Packer was saying to me that Ramosha, he has a tshuva where he talks about this thing. He quotes this Gemara, and I think he wants to say, like from the Gemara, that something like that the woman, you know, could wear the shidel or something like that, you know, from this Gemara. I think so, but I have to look. I didn't see it inside. All right. Let's now we're ready for the next Mishnah. And this then,
you know, the issue of Maris Ayin is less maybe because everyone wears shidels, so everyone knows.
Well, in certain neighborhoods, that's the way it is. In certain neighborhoods, and not everybody wears the shidels, you know. So, but in other words,
like going to a wedding, you see everyone.
You want to say it's not a Maris Ayin because everybody. Right. Everybody knows that everybody's wearing shidels. All right. I don't know. All right. Now, let's see. Now, the next Mishnah. Okay, Manitin. Okay. Ha'ish Madir Beno Benazir. So we had this already earlier. A father can sort of impose a Neder Naziris on his minor son. Ha'ish Madir Beno Benazir. Ha'ish Madir Beno Benazir. The mother cannot. The father could. Now we have ketzad. Now some take out the word ketzad, and it really seems the flow seems better without ketzad. Gilach oshutuchu krovav. Now he talks about if people do an action that indicates they object to the neder. So if, let's say, it's a 10-year-old boy, but he gets giluach during the term of Nazirus, oshutuchu krovav, or his relatives shave his head. Micha, he, the boy, protests, oshamichu krovav. And earlier, remember, I think it was the Rush, or one of the notes that Caleb said, they say about where the father is no longer alive, and then the relatives object. Haitalo behemu mufreshet, if the father had separated an animal for the korbanot, for this boy, upon completion of his nazirus, and now the boy is opting out of the nazirus. Hachatat tamut. So the animal he designated as a chatat, that's chatat, like not shemetu balea, but, you know, close to it, In other words, there's like no need for the chatan anymore. So the chatan has to die. It's like locked in the room, dies. But ola tikarev ola, the animal that was in an ola should be brought as an ola. And then the bach has vashlamim yikravu shlamim. The shlamim should be brought as a korban shlamim, because we said the ola and the shlamim could be brought voluntarily. The nechalim liyom echad, the shlamim were only eaten for one day. Again, shlamim were normally eaten for 2 days and one night. But this shlamim is going to have the time limit of the shlamim for the nazir. But you won't bring the lechem with it. Somehow the lechem is connected to the kapara. Here there's no kapara. If, on the other hand, the father had designated money, but like, or I should say but the money is, I shouldn't use the word designated. He separated money, but undesignated money. Yiplul in adava. So go in adava, again, for Kate Samizbeach, for like the case can mean like the dessert, but like when there's downtime, there's bayah to bring olot. Maut mefurashim, if he had, you know, it's money is designated, you know, one bag for this, one bag for that, one bag for the other, but we learned it might even be less than that. To make chatat yilchu liyam ha-melech. So the chatat money goes liyam ha-melech. Lo nenin v'lo mo'olin. You don't have to get hanav from that money, but if you did, you did not commit the act of me'ilah, because the act of me'ilah, we said, is something that goes on in his bayach. To make ola, if you ola, the money that's separated from ola, you should bring korban ola. U'mo'olin b'hen, you would be chayav from me'ilah if you benefit from the ola. To make shlamim, you have you shlamim. With shlamim, you bring shlamim. B'nechalin liyam akad, it's eaten for one day. V'enon tunim lechem. And there's no bread with that. Okay, now, let's just see a little bit of story, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, I think we're basically done. All right, now, 1 minute. All right, we'll do a little bit of story. Any questions on this sugya so far? Okay, all right, let's see now the story. Now, during one Pesach, when the final day fell out on Shabbos, a certain man locked the door to his room and went to sleep. When he woke up, he was disconcerted to note that the lamp was in a different place and one of the lights was extinguished. One of the lights was extinguished. When he woke up, he was disconcerted to note that the lamp was in a different place and one of the lights was extinguished. So he goes to sleep, lamps are burning. He gets up, the lamp is in a different place and one of the lights blown out. The next day, he spoke with his friend who was a great scholar. He confessed, quote, I must have woken up and profaned the Shabbos, although I remember nothing. What do you think I ought to do to atone for this? So he figures, I must have been Michal Shabbos and I don't remember it. Did somebody move the lamp and blew out the light? The scholar replied, I think that during Mincha, you should accept the fast tomorrow. This depriving of your body will atone for your sin like a sacrifice. The man did just that. The next day, he arrived home, but refused his lunch. When his wife asked why, he explained what had happened. The Jewish live-in help blurted out, but that was me. I remember that you left a lit lamp in your room, so I took the key and removed it. I did it inadvertently since I thought it was only Yontif. It was only the next day that I recalled that it was also Shabbos. So, anyway, he said one light is extinguished, whatever, the help did it. He says the man had already fasted half a day. The truth is that I have a different sin that I would like this fast to go towards. Atoning is an offering instead of what turned out to be this non-existent Chil Shabbos. So, in other words, I fasted half a day. I don't need it for no reason. I want to use this fast for a different Aveira. So he says he consulted with the illustrious Ben Ish Chai Zatzal to ascertain whether if he completed his fast, this would actually count as a sacrifice with regards to the other sin. In other words, like, fasting is like bringing a korban. So
what's the credit?
Right. Well, he wants to use it now for the other Aveira. After hearing the entire story, the Ben Ish Chai replied, and obviously it connects with our Sadaf. In Nazir Chafched, it states that the verse, the Korbano Achatato, teaches that his offering only atones if it was brought for the sake of the sin for which it was originally designated. The same is true in your case. You took on the fast to atone for the sin of Chil Shabbos. You can't change in the middle, just as you can't change what an offering atones for. That's tough. Tough. Okay, now.
What if he has another Chil Shabbos?
Like in other words, for? Like he accepted upon himself the fast. Like that's like Kapalas Tanis. So now he's got to fast the whole thing. It's a rough deal. All right. Now, all right. There's another piece here I could read this.
But what if he has another Chil Shabbos from the week before that he wants to atone for? Now, can he get some credit?
Well, what do you think from our Gemara? Assuming that the Sushna.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Al Chatato is the korban to that chavera, that avera. Okay, now, so now the now there's another piece in the halacha which I'll read this piece and then maybe that will be it. Okay, now the so Rameir said in the Mishnah that even if it's after the korbanot have been brought, the husband can still revoke the neder because he could say, I don't want a wife with a shaven head. So Rameir maintains that a husband retains the right to revoke his wife's vow of Naziris up until the time that she cuts her hair. The reason is that as long as she has not shaved her hair, you know, when I think about a Nazir, I never think of a woman Nazir, I always think of a man Nazir. But, you know, you see in the Gemara, you could have a woman could be a Nazira. I can't think of one instance in the whole Tanakh where there's a woman Nazira. Anyway, he says, the reason is that as long as she has not shaved her hair, the husband has the right to claim that he does not want his wife to have a shaven head. Rabbi Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the Tziv, noted that this seems to indicate that in the time of Chazal, married women did not have the practice to shave the hair on their head. But he's focusing on a different point. So we were focusing on, are you allowed to wear a shaitel or not? And the poskim weigh in differently on that. He's focusing that, you know, like we were mentioning before, Yosef was saying, in some communities, women, that's par for the course, they shave their heads. But from this Gemara, it doesn't sound like that was typical, because it's only when she's becoming a Nazira. He then suggests that the reason later authorities guided women to shave the hair on their head was to avoid the issue of squeezing water from one's hair that could easily occur when a woman immerses in the mikvah on Shabbos. So the Nesiv is postulating that the custom of shaving off the hair came about later so that women shouldn't do schita when they go to the mikvah on Shabbos. And that's what he wants to think that why they were doing it. Now, the Shuma Shaul Meshiv expressed concern. Now, the Shaul Meshiv is Rav Yosef Shaul Nathanson. He was a rabbi in Lviv, which is today Lviv in western Ukraine. So he expressed concern that the practice of married women to shave the hair on their head violates the prohibition against a woman grooming herself like a man. So this is getting a little dicey here. In other words, he's assuming that men shave their heads. You wouldn't shave your payas, but you know, you shave the rest of the head. So he says, how could a woman be allowed to shave the heads? That's like lo yekli gevar alisha. Woman's not allowed to like darkei Moshe. However, that's I think from the Minchas Elazar, right? So he says the Munkacher. He says, however, cites different authorities who attempt to resolve this difficulty. The Sefer Shrilei David asserts that the prohibition against a woman cutting her hair like a man is limited to unmarried women, but does not apply to married women. Darkei Tshuva suggests the reason to distinguish between married and unmarried women is that the prohibition against adorning oneself like a member of the opposite gender is limited to where the person seeks to look like a member of the opposite gender, but does not apply when a person cross-dresses for some other reason, example, because it's cold or raining. Therefore, if a married woman shaves her head for modesty purposes, it does not violate prohibition. So he's saying the shaving would be for tzniyus purposes, which I think is the way people think of it now. But he says it's not a problem about lo yekli gevar al isha because, you know, nobody would mistake her for like a man. Darkei Tshuva also cites an explanation of Tshuva Schik Relay, who addresses this concern. In order for a woman to violate the prohibition against grooming herself like a man, she would have to leave her payas intact, which is the way men remove the hair on their head. But if she shaves off all the hair off her head, including her payas, it does not resemble the way men shave their heads. In other words, women are chayav in all lavim, except for lo tashkifu, and there's another lav also, I think, in lo tashkifu tzatanecha. So the man cannot shave off all the hair on his head. He's got to leave like the sides. The woman could shave all the hair on her head. Consequently, the prohibition is not violated. He cites as evidence of the assertion of halacha that a woman is permitted to take a vow of Naziris, even though it will necessitate shaving off all her hair. All right. I think it's going to be tonight. End the recording. One second.